Hey Amid Beis, three lines from the bottom. Avol Shabbos Loi. Yesterday we discussed in the shir extensively that if there's a meitzar or a chotzav, if there's a boundary or a chotzav, as we discussed yesterday, we'll discuss more in Mitzvah. Today's shir is grass that was used as a border marker, as a boundary marker. Regarding certain areas of halacha, they serve as a divider of a field. Began when we discussed Nichsei Hager, which is the primary subject we've been discussing, if a ger dies without any relatives. But we continue discussing situations about border boundaries and their implications as far as halacha is concerned regarding Hilchas Tumah, regarding Hilchas Peah. Says the Gemara, Avla Shabbos, if there's one of these border markers, the Meitzar, the Chatzav, Loi, they don't represent a factor as far as Hilchas Shabbos are concerned. I will explain what it means in a moment. And Rav Amar, Afilu Inyan Shabbos, they do have relevance as far as Hilchas Shabbos are concerned. The Tanya, as the Braisa teaches us regarding Hilchas Shabbos, Hoitzi Chatzi Groigris L'Shus HaRabim. We know and Shabbos certainly one's not allowed to carry from Rosh Hashanah to Rosh Hashanah. And as we also learned in Masechet Shabbos, there are shiurim when one violates the issur of carrying on Shabbos. And typically the shiur of carrying a food item is the shiur of a groigris, a dried fig. So teaches us the Braisa. If hoitzi chatzi groigris Rosh Hashanah, if somebody carried from Rosh Hashanah one half a groigris, v'nichay and deposited in the Rosh Hashanah Rabbim. And then the chazba hoitzi chatzi groigris, he carries out another half of groigris to Rosh Hashanah Rabbim. If he does it behelam echad, in one act, that means he did not recognize in between these two acts of carrying that it was Shabbos that he did in Aveira, then these two acts combine and he's chayif. However, if he did it b'shnei halomis, he carried out a chatzi groigris, then recognized it was Shabbos, or recognized that he did something wrong, and then the two acts are considered separate, distinct acts, and he's potter. And there's a very important Rashbam here that discusses why, if he only carries out a chatzi groigris, is he not chayiv? Because typically we would understand, as we said in our introductory remarks, that Hilchas Shabbos, as all other halachas, have shiurim. And the shiur for carrying is a groigris. If you carry less than a groigris, you didn't carry out the shiur. But the Rashbam says very interestingly, he said, because if you carry less than a groigris, you did not do something that's significant. It's not a malacha cheshuva. And the Torah, when it speaks about Shabbos, speaks about malachas machsheves. It has to be a malacha cheshuva. So the question that the Paiskim, the Mefarshim say in analyzing the Rashbam, what's the Rashbam trying to teach us by saying that Chatzi Groigris is not considered a Malacha Cheshuva? So they say that the Rashbam is teaching us that as far as Hilchas Shabbos are concerned, the concept of a Chatzi Shir is different than it is B'Kol HaTorah Kula. B'chol HaTorah, as I said a minute ago, there's a shear. Less than a shear is not what the Torah said is asur. The Torah says you're not allowed to eat a kazayis of machol sasuris. That's the shear. But certainly, less than a shear is also asur. Chatzi shear asur min HaTorah. However, as far as Hilchas Shabbos are concerned, say the Mefarshim, understanding the Rashbam, he's saying that if you didn't carry the shear of a groigris, it's not that you did the aveira, but you carried less than the shear. It's not considered a malacha. It's not considered an aveira. And there's a very famous tshuva from the Klaus Magareba based on this analysis. He discusses, it's less relevant in our world, in our world of disposable cups. He says, but in a world where people use glasses to drink hot coffee, hot tea, and they reuse the glass, they reuse the cup. So the question comes up as follows. I drink a coffee, a tea, and a glass. And then somebody else wants to use that glass. So they wash out the glass. That's difficult, or almost virtually impossible, to dry the glass out so well there shouldn't be a drop of water left in the glass from when you cleaned it out. Now the issue is, you're going to pour in hot water into that glass for the next coffee or the next tea. But you have a drop of cold water left at the bottom of the glass. And the fact that it's a drop of cold water works actually against you. Because if it was a lot of water, so it's hard to cook up a lot of water by just pouring from a pot or from a percolator into it. But a drop of water is very easy to cook up. You have a whole glass of water with a drop of cold water. So you allow to pour hot water into a glass that has a drop of cold water left on the bottom from when you wash the glass. And there are paiskim that say it's also. It's not the sheer bishul. Chatzi sheer also min ha-tayrim. However, says the Klaus Magreba, we just learned that that's not true. Because we just learned that the Rashbam teaches us that by Hilchos Shabbos, if it's less than the shear, it's not that you did the aveira, but you did less than the shear. It's not a malacha chshuva. It's bechlal not a malacha. And therefore, he paskens halacha lemaisa that you could pour hot water into the glass that might have been just washed, that has some drops of water in it, and it's not considered usur at all. Rav Yossi, going back to our Gemara, speaking about carrying from the Shus HaYoch to Shus Rabim, says as follows, V'helem Echad, B'Shus Echad, if you carried in one Haloma from Shus HaYoch to Shus Rabim, then Yuchayiv, but if it's Shnei Rishuyis, if you carried from one Rishus HaYoch to another Rishus HaRabim, to one Rishus HaRabim, and then you carried another Chati Kazayis to another Rishus HaRabim, you're Potter. Why? Because the fact, this is the Posh Pshat in the Gemara, because the fact that you carried it to two separate Rishus Rabbims serves as a way of separating these two acts. Ask the Mepharshim, why according to Rabbi Yossi would you be Potter? The Rishonim asked this question. The Gemara says in Masechta Shabbos, that let's say somebody, the shear for writing, for Kaisav and Shabbos, is two letters. So let's say somebody wrote one letter in one place, and another letter in another place. I'm not going to the issue if you could carry the letters from one place to the other. You could carry those letters from one place to the next. So you've done a whole malacha, and it says in the Gemara Masechta Shabbos Yechayiv. So why here, if I carry to one rishus and then to another rishus, don't they combine? Because of this question, Rabbeinu Chananel has a whole different girsa in understanding Rabbi Yossi. He says, indeed, Rabbi Yossi will agree that if you carry from Rishus HaYochid to one Rishus Rabim, and then you carry from that same Rishus HaYochid to another Rishus Rabim, you'll be chayiv. Our Gemara is referring to a different situation. You carry the Chatzi Groigers from one Rishus HaYochid to Rishus Rabim, and then you carry another Chatzi Groigers from another Rishus HaYochid to another Rishus Rabim. That the halacha will be that these are totally separate because two different Rishus HaYochids and two different Rishus Rabims, that's why they can't combine. But then I saw another pshat, and it's very consistent with what we said a moment ago. The Ri says this pshat, also Rishon. He says, carrying less than a shear is not an act of carrying. So if therefore, since I carried less than a groigris to one Rishus Rabim and to another Rishus Rabim, these two acts cannot combine because each act on its own is a very insignificant act. So now, what becomes very relevant in following Rabbi Yossi's opinion, we need to know what is considered two separate Rishus HaRabims. So I'm a rabbi. So rabbi says, "Who sheish chiv chatz b'neim? What serves as a divider between two separate Rishus HaRabims? If you have a Rishus Daraisa, we know, as we learned in Masechta Shabbos, there are four Rishuyos in Shabbos. Rishus HaYochid, Rishus HaRabim, Karmel, and Makom Torah. But that's Midrabon and Midaraisa combined. Midaraisa, there are only two Rishuyos. Rishus HaYochid and Rishus HaRabim. Says Rabbah, what Rishus could separate, to turn one area into two separate Rishus HaRabims? They have a real Rishus HaYochid dividing it. Ava Karmelis, if it's only a Karmelis, since Midaraisa Karmelis doesn't have the significance of being a Rishus, that a Karmelis cannot serve as an area that would divide the Rishus HaRabim into two. Abai disagrees. A fil kamlus, even a kamlus, can't serve as an area that divides Roshus Rabbim. Aval pisla, a pisla cannot serve this purpose. What is a pisla? A pisla is like a board that's dalit, that doesn't have the requisite amount to be even a kamlus. And explains Rabbi Chanan in the Kaibit Shurim, why does Abaye treat a kamlus different than a makam ptur? A kamlus, he's saying, can divide the Rishus Rabbim, a makam ptur can't. Both of them are only Rishuyas Madrabanan. So why are we treating these two Rishuyas differently? So he explains very beautifully. He says the halacha is, we all know this halacha, you're not allowed to carry from Rishus Yachat to kamlus on Shabbos Madrabanan. You're not allowed to carry from Rishus Rabbim to kamlus on Shabbos Madrabanan. So we see that a kamlus has a significance. You're not allowed to carry to it or from it. Makam Ptur doesn't have that significance. You're allowed to carry to a Makam Ptur or from a Makam Ptur. So the fact that the Rabbanan chose to say that you can and can't carry to or from a kamlus, and they didn't say so by Makam Ptur, makes a kamlus more significant that it could serve as a divider of the Rosh Hashanah. Rava says, a filipas pisla. That even a pisla could separate a Rosh Hashanah. Says the Gemara, v'az the Rav l'tameh, and Rav is consistent with his opinion that we find elsewhere. Dama Rava, Rosh Shabbos, k'rishus gittin dami, which means the following. The Torah teaches us, that we spoke a lot about this concept of Masechta Gittin. The Torah teaches us, when the Torah speaks about a couple, Rachmana l'tzlan, getting divorced, the word the Torah uses, v'nasan get b'yada. A husband deposits the get in the hands of the wife. But the Torah teaches us, the Gemara teaches us, I mean, Masechta the Gittin, that you don't have to give it that specifically in her hands. If you deposit it in her chatzar and her property, it's fine. So, says the Gemara, let's say, for whatever reason, the husband can't or won't deposit the get into the wife's hands, and the wife doesn't have any property that you could deposit the get into her property that it should be considered an effective get. So the Gemara gives an advice to the husband. The Gemara's advice to the husband is, he owns property. He shall lend that property to his wife, who is about to divorce. So now she has property, and deposit the get on that property, and she'll be divorced. Says the Gemara, what will be if there's a pistol, there's this block, which is a makam ptur in his property, and to his bad luck, when he deposits the get on the property, he doesn't deposit it on the floor, it lands on the pisla. Will the get be a get or not? So the Gemara says it's not a get. Why? Because the Gemara says, makam chad maigri inchi, shnei mekaymus loy maigri inchi. A person lends to his wife one spot, not two places. So he only lent his wife the ground. The pisla is already considered a different area that he didn't lend to his wife. That wasn't included in the loan that he made to her that she should be able to get divorced. And therefore the get's not a get. So what do we see, what's relevant to our sugya? That a pisla is not considered a separate area. And that's why the get will not be considered a valid get under such a situation. Says the Gemara. Just like Rava, as far as Hilchas Gittin, considers a pisla a significant independent area, so too will it consider it so regarding Hilchas Shabbos, that if you have a pisla, Machlokes Rosh Hashanah has to go through the entire length or not, dividing the Rosh Hashanah Rabbim to the din there, Rabbi Yossi says that if the Rosh Hashanah Rabbim is divided and you carried one half Gregorius to one Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, another half Gregorius to a different Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, you're not chayiv, the pisla will be enough according to Rava, according to Rabbi Yossi, to divide the Rosh Hashanah Rabbim. Continues the Gemara. Ein sham loy meitzav loy chatzav. So we've been discussing, going back to our previous year, that a border or a chatzav could separate a shus rabbim could separate a nichsei ger into two separate areas, and the act of chazaka done to one will not work for the other. What would be the halacha, asked the Gemara, if there isn't anything dividing? So you have a very large area that the ger left over. So the question is, can one act of chazakah, how big could the area be that one act of chazakah should be adequate to be koina the entire area? And as the Rashbam, we're going to learn first the Gemara with the Peshat of the Rashbam. We actually discussed, the Gemara already discussed the Shaila on Daf Nun Dal Raman Aleph. And Rav said that if you have a very large area, what's required is that the number Pshatim, but Pash Pshat, that the animals go back and forth, plowing, that is considered an act of Chazakah. Says the Rashbam, they knew that Rabbi Yochanan disagrees with that opinion of Rav, and now the Gemara wants to know what is Rabbi Yochanan's opinion regarding that Shaila. Ain't Sham Lai Meitzav V'Lai Chotz of Mai, says the Gemara, Pirish Reb Meroinus Mishmai, Kol Shenikras Al Shmai. As long as the area is called one property, it could be huge, it's one property. Hey Chidami, what does that mean? Amar Papa, the Karlei Beg Gergus de Planya. If it's all called this person's field, this person's waterhole, this person's reservoir, whatever, that is considered one area, no matter how large it is. And any act of chazakah on one spot of that area will be adequate to be considered a valid chazakah. That's the way the Rashbam learns the Gemara. But again, the Rashbam's pshat on the Gemara requires us to learn that they were aware that Rabbi Yochanan disagrees with Rav, and now they want to know what Rabbi Yochanan's opinion is, which is a little difficult because the Gemara doesn't make any indication, doesn't show us any indication that Rabbi Yochanan is arguing on Rav. So therefore, there are other Rishonim that have a different Pshat in Gemara. One Pshat is that Rabbi Yochanan and Rav are not disagreeing. Rabbi Yochanan, there's two types of field. There's a Beis HaBaal and Beis HaShalchan. Beis HaBaal is a field that relies on, that doesn't need to be watered. It relies on rainwater. And Beis HaShalchan is a field that needs watering besides the rainwater. And Rav and Rabbi Yochanan are talking about these two different fields. Similar pshat, the difference between Rav and Rabbi Yochanan, one is talking about a field with trees, and one is talking about a field with vegetables. Another pshat that I saw is that, as I said at the beginning of today's shiur, this issue is not only relevant regarding Hilchos Kinyan Chazaka B'Nechsei Ger. As we learned at the end of our previous shiur, it's also relevant regarding Hilchos Tumah. And that's, Rabbi Yochanan is talking about Hilchos Tumah, Rav was talking about Kinyan Chazaka, they're talking about different subjects. Says the Gemara, Yosef of Achabar Avya Kamed Rav Yasi, the Yosef of Kamed Bishmeid Rav Asi B'Chanina, Chatzuva, as we've been learning, this grass, Mafsik B'Nechsei Ger, could serve as a divider of one piece of property. Ask the Gemara, my Chatzuva, Amr of Yehuda Amarav, Shabai Tichem Yeshua Yisrael Seretz. As we've been learning, this was the grass, since it's an excellent border marker, because as I said yesterday, the grass goes right straight down. It doesn't spread to the right and the left. It's an excellent material to be used to make a boundary. So I sort of mafarshim asked two questions. One question is, we've been speaking about Chatzuva already for two shiurim. Why does the Gemara wait for the end of the sugya to ask what Chatzuva is? We should have asked at the beginning of the sugya if they don't know what Chatzuva is. And another question I ask is, you asked, what is Chatzuva? So the Gemara doesn't answer the question. The Gemara answers, Shabai Tichem Yeshua Sa'aretz. That's not the question. The question is, what is Chatzuva? We didn't ask you what Chatzuva was used for. So sort of Mefarshim explained the Gemara differently. In our Gemara, this Chatzuva has been called two different names. It's been called Chatzuva, and it's been called HaChotzov. And the Gemara's question is, what is it? Is it Chatzuva or is it HaChotzov? And the Gemara's answer is, it's really Chatzuva. Why is it called HaChotzov if it's really Chatzuva? Because since this was the material that was used to make the borders of Eretz Yisrael, so it became very significant. And that's why it's called HaChotzov, with the hay. It's a significant material. It was used to create the borders of Eretz Yisrael. Vi Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Rav. Loimani Yeshua El Ar Yaris Haimus HaGvulim. When we look and say for Yeshua, where the cities of Eretz Yisrael are mentioned as Yeshua divides up Eretz Yisrael, only the cities that are on the borders. As the Rashbam explained, it doesn't mean only the outer borders. The interior, there are interior cities also mentioned, but those are the cities that were borders between the portions of the different Shvat. Furthermore, says the Gemara, Amar Rav Yehuda Mishmur, Kol Sharei HaKadosh Baruch Hu LaMoshe, any part of Eretz Yisrael that HaKadosh Baruch Hu showed Moshe Rabbeinu, Chai B'Maisa. There's a chiv to take Maiser in those areas. Ask the Gemara Lefuki Mai, what are we trying to exclude? as Tosfos explains, certainly he's not come to teach us to exclude Chutz La'aretz. Chutz La'aretz, it's Chutz La'aretz. There's no Chiv, Mitzvah Satluyus Baretz, outside of Eretz Yisrael. So what are we trying to teach us? Answers the Gemara, Lefuki, Keni Kniz V'Kadmoni. That, as we remember, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu promised Avraham Avinu Eretz Yisrael, he said Eretz Yisrael was the land of 10 nations. And three of those nations were Keni Kniz V'Kadmoni. And what he's teaching us is when it came, ultimately, to give Klai Eretz Yisrael, these three nations' property were not given to Klai Yisrael. So I saw that some Sofer asks an obvious question. He says, why does the Gemara have to identify the areas that are Chayiv, that are Eretz Yisrael, by saying what Moshe Rabbeinu saw? If we take out a Chumash and we look in Parashas Masai, the Torah tells us which cities are Eretz Yisrael, which cities aren't Eretz Yisrael. So why does the Gemara have to use this way of teaching it to us? So he says a beautiful pshat, that what Moshe Rabbeinu saw. He says, we know, the Gemara says, Moshe Rabbeinu was very anxious to go to Eretz Yisrael. And the question was, Moshe Rabbeinu was so anxious to go to Eretz Yisrael because he wanted to eat the fruits of Eretz Yisrael? Of course not. He wanted to go to Eretz Yisrael because that's where we could do more mitzvahs. We could do all the mitzvahs, hatluyos ba'aretz, in Eretz Yisrael. Says the Chasam Sofer. If the Torah would have just, if we would just rely on what the Torah says are the cities of Eretz Yisrael, we would perhaps think, you know why the cities of Keni, Kniz, and Kadmoni are omitted? Because Yeshua never physically conquered those cities, conquered those areas, and the Torah is only mentioning the cities that Yeshua ultimately conquered. But now, says the Gemara, we're not relying on what Yeshua did or didn't conquer. We're relying on what HaKadosh Baruch Hu showed to Moshe. And what was the purpose of showing Moshe Rabbeinu those lands? Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu was showing Moshe the lands where one can be Mekayim, the mitzvahs of Tluyos Baretz. So if Keni, Knizi, Kadmoni are areas where ultimately we can be Mekayim, mitzvahs of Tluyos Baretz, so why didn't HaKadosh Baruch Hu show it to Moshe? Even if Yeshua won't capture them, that doesn't change that these are places that ultimately will have that Kedusha. It must be because those are places that won't have that Kedusha. And the purpose of showing Moshe Rabbeinu was only to show places where that Kedusha will ultimately be. Tosfos also says that this Gemara obviously follows the opinion, Kitcher Rishon and Kitcher Lashat of Kitcher Lassalavai. Any city that Yeshua captured became part of Eretz Yisrael forever. So now we're saying that the areas of Keni, Kniz, and Kadmoni are not part of Eretz Yisrael. What does that mean? So the Gemara of Fuki, Keni, Kniz, and Kadmoni, Tanya Rameh, I mean, what are those cities? Naftucha Arva v'Shalma. Rav Yehuda Aimer, Harseir Amon Amoyev. Rav Shimon Aimer, Adiski Asva Asfamio. There's a big machlokes Rishonim. The Rajbam says, it seems that the way the Rajbam learns, all the Rishonim say explicitly, Keni, Knizi, Kadmoni have been permanently excluded from ever being part of Eretz Yisrael. Ritva says no. Ritva says, you can't learn Pshat that way. Because this was promised. These areas were promised, as I said earlier, to Avraham Avinu, that they will be Eretz Yisrael. And therefore, says the Ritva, until Mashiach comes, they won't be part of Eretz Yisrael. But when Mashiach comes, they too will become part of Eretz Yisrael. In fact, I'm saying over from the Ritva here. In fact, Ritva says, this is, Raya, one of the questions that face Jewish theologians, is that Mashiach is not mentioned in the Torah. He says, this is one of the places where you have a right to Mashiach. Because we're saying now that Keni, Knizi, Kadmoni was promised to Avraham Avinu, but when will that promise be fulfilled? When Mashiach comes. So there's a riot that there's Mashiach. Says the Mishnah. Hayin shnayim me'idin nosoi, shach l'shal l'shan. If we have two edim that say edis that this person was on this property for 3 years, and therefore this person achieved the chazakah, and then Nimtzu Zoymimin. We know the Torah speaks about Edom Zoymimin. Edom Zoymimin means that two Edom come and say whatever they say, and then two other Edom come and say, how could you have given that testimony? Imanu Hayisim, you were with us elsewhere. So says the Mishnah, if two Edom said that this person has a chazakah, and now two other people say, how could you possibly say so? You were elsewhere? So they have the din of Eidim Zomim and Mesham Sakol. They want to deprive the owner of his property. They have to reimburse him that value. So the Mefarshim help frame the understanding of the Mishnah. Number one point they make is as follows. When these people become Eidim Zomimim, it's not required that the Eidim who say Imano Yisim say, how could you say that this person was on this property for 3 years? All of those 3 years, you were with us elsewhere. You don't have to have that they were there elsewhere all 3 years. As long as they could say, part of those 3 years, you were elsewhere, so they're already Eidim Zomimim. Because you need full 3 years to have a chazaka. The Eidim Zomimim say, you didn't see this for the whole 3 years. And that's already enough to turn them into Eidim Zomimim. The Mefarshim also discuss, so now that they've been proven to be Eidim Zomimim, this person who's on the property ate Paris. So besides that he won't get the property because he has no chazaka, will he have to reimburse the owner for the Paris that he ate? So Mefarshim explain as follows. You can't make him pay Paris based on the testimony of these Eidim, because you just turned them into Eidim Zomimim. If you don't trust them because they're in Zomimim, you don't trust them. You can't say, I don't trust them as far as the Chazaka, but I do trust them as far as the Peiris. Either they are or they aren't. So the only way that this person who was on the property would have to pay the owner for the Peiris is if he finds other Eidim who say that he was on the property and eating Peiris, but they're also going to have to say that he wasn't there 3 years. Because if those other Eidim say that he was there 3 years, so he'll have a Chazaka. So the only way that he'll have to pay Peiris is if the owner brings Eidim, and those Eidim couldn't have been there for 3 years. Continues the Mishnah. Instead of having one pair of Eidim for the whole 3 years, we have the following situation. One pair of Eidim say, we saw this person year one, another pair say year two, and another pair says year three. So the halacha is, Mishalshim b'neim. And now if all of them turn into Eidim Zomimim, they together have to, so we actually have six people. These six Eidim will share the cost of the field. And as the Mefarshim explained, the Rishonim, Tosfos discusses this, we have to assume that these three pairs of Eidim conspire together to come say Eidis. Otherwise, the Eidim of year one and the Eidim of year two could say, why should we have to pay? Our testimony itself would have not given him a chazaka. So why should we be held responsible? The only way to understand the Mishnah is that they came as a group, conspired together. Another case. Shlosh echem ve'echad. Mitztarf emoem. Harein shlosh edis. Ben edad eches la'azama. Which means as follows. We have three brothers. Reuven, Shimon, Levi. And then we have a fourth individual who's not related to them. So, says the Mishnah, if Reuven, who's one of the brothers, says, let's say this fourth person is not related, his name is Yisrael. So you have Reuven and Yisrael for year one, Shimon and Yisrael for year two, Levi and Yisrael for year three. That is considered a valid edus for Chazaka. Even though Reuven, Shimon, and Levi are related, because the way the Rishonim explained the Mishnah, the Halacha doesn't look at them as one group saying Eidus together, because brothers can't say Eidus together. The halacha looks at at the testimony of every year as a separate testimony. And therefore, each brother is not combining with his other brother. Machlokes Rishonim, what does it mean when Eidus Eches La'azama? Some Rishonim, that's Pashup Shat, the way most Rishonim understand the Mishnah, that in order for these Eidim to become Eidim Zomimim, they all have to be Muslim. Because that's the halacha. We need all of them to create a chazaka. So since all of their testimony was required to make a chazaka, in order to break that testimony, and in order to make them Eidim Zomimim, they have to all be Muslim. That's Pash Pshat in the Mishnah. Other Rishonim say, it starts the same way, but it ends differently, that since all of them have to be Muslim, so now we have to have the Hazama brothers together, in order to create them to have a situation of Eidim Zomimim. And as I said a minute ago, and it's obvious halacha, brothers can't combine into one Eidus. And since brothers can't combine, these Eidim can never become Eidim Zomimim. Says the Gemara, Masnis the like Rabbi Kiva. Our Mishnah does not follow the opinion of Rabbi Kiva. The Tanya Amar B'Yosi. Shaholach Abba Chalifta Eitz Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri Lima Torah. When my father Chalifta went to Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri to learn Torah. Actually, the Mefarshim, the Paiskim, used this Gemara to teach us a Halach L'maisa, not relevant to Masechta Bava Basra. They say, Rabbi Yosi's father was Chalifta. And we know the Halach is, one is not allowed to call his father by name. So how did Rabbi Yosi call his father's name, say his father's name Chalifta? So the halach is, if somebody just mentions his father's name, it's Asur. It's Kibravei. But if he says something before, says my father, and then he says his father's name, or he says my Rebbe, and his father's, who happens to be his father, that's Mutter. What's the Raya? Our Gemara. He's calling his father Chalifta, but since he first used the word Abba, my father Chalifta, that's permissible. It comes up very often if you come to a shul and the gabbai doesn't know your name and they want to give you an aliyah. So you say, my name is Ben. You have to be very careful not just to say your father's name. You have to say Ben Rav, your father's name. Even if the gabbai is going to call you up without the Rav, maybe your father wasn't the Rav, it doesn't change that you can't mention your father's name without first mentioning a title of honor. It was Rabbi Yochanan Nuri that went to Abba Chalifta Lom Matara. Amrloi, Haresh Ach Lashonim Rishonim Afnei Shnayim. The din that we just learned in the Mishnah. The first year of Chazakah were in front of one pair of Edom. Shnia, the second year was before another pair of Edom. And Shlish was before another pair of Edom. Mahu, what's the halacha? Amrloi, Haresh the Chazakah. It achieves the Chazakah. Amrloi, Afani Aymakein. I too hold this way. Ella, Rabbi Kiva disagrees. Shaya Kiva Aima, because Rabbi Kiva's opinion is, Davar, V'loi Chatzi Davar. To accomplish anything in Halacha, you have to have two Edom. Only two Edom. And if you're going to rely that the two Edom together don't combine, it will not be valid. Ask the Gemara, V'rabbonon, Hai Davar, my avidlei. What would be the halacha according to Rabbanan? What would they do with this dover v'loy chati dover? Because as the Rishonim explained, the Torah says p'ei shneidim yakum dover. So dover does come to teach us not dover v'loy chati dover. So how would Rabbanan learn this? Answers the Gemara. Ilema, perhaps you'll say it'll come to teach us the following halacha. Lemuti echr oimer achs begabav achs oimer achs bekreisa. We know that in order for a girl to be considered a gedolah, you have to have two things. Number one, she has to be 12 years old. Number two, she has to bring shtei saris. Our Gemara is following the opinion, it's Gemara we're going to learn, mitzvah and nida, that the saris aren't in one spot of the body. You could have a sar in the front or a sar in the back, that's considered shtei saris. So if one aide came and said that he saw one hair in the front, and one here, and the other, it's so one in the back. Says the Gemara, that's certainly not acceptable. Hai chatzi dover for chatzi edesu. You only have one aid for each hair, and each hair is only half. So certainly, everybody will agree that that is invalid testimony. That I don't need a pasuk for. Elamuti, what is the case that the Rabbanim will agree is not acceptable testimony? Echad oim begaba, shtaim am ax begaba. Two Edom say we saw one hair in the back. And two Edom say we saw one hair in the front. So we have two Edom on each hair. Still, they can't combine. Why? Because it's Chatzi Dover. So first we'll explain the Gemara as the Rashbam explains the Gemara. The Rashbam explains the Gemara that two Edom on one hair in the back and two Edom one hair in the front don't combine. Whereas, two Edom on year one, and another two Edom on year two, and another two Edom on year three, would combine. Why? Why is it different? So, the Rashbam explains very simply. It is physically, the Rashbam's pshat is the simplest pshat. It is physically possible to see the hair in the front and the back at the same time. So if it's physically possible to see both hairs at the same time, if you don't see them at the same time, it's unacceptable. But it's impossible to see something from year one and year two and year three at the same time. And therefore, there it's acceptable. That's the Rashbam's pshat. Another pshat that I saw is that as far as Hilchas Chazaka concerned, this really speaks to the heart of what we've been discussing in this parak. Chazaka is not what makes you own the property. Because as we learned at the beginning of the parak, Chazaka she'eni maitaina, if you don't have a claim, just because you have a Chazaka doesn't make you the owner of the property. Chazaka only supports your claim. Here, it's the actual claim, the here. So you can't compare the two situations where it's only something that's only something to support a claim versus something which is the actual factor under consideration. Machloikas ha'achroinim, we're saying that a chatzi dover is unacceptable. Why is chatzi dover unacceptable? Is it because in order to be considered valid edim, this is Nesivus Pshat, they have to have seen the entire picture, anything else is not acceptable? Or is it a din in Hagodas Eidus? In order to be considered a valid testimony, there has to be a Hagodah, there has to be a testimony, a verbal testimony, on the entire situation, not only on a partial situation. L'may nafkamina. So I saw two nafkaminas in the Achroinim. One nafkamina is, what would be the halacha in a situation where Eid Echad is acceptable? You can rely on Eid Echad. So if it's a din and hagodas eidus, so then we don't have a problem hachatzi dover, because even one eid would be good. If it's a din and re'iyah, and less than a whole re'iyah is not considered a valid re'iyah, then it won't be acceptable. Or another nafkamina the mefarshim suggest, what would be the halacha by something we only obligated to offer testimony midrabbanan? If it's a din in re'iyah, so maybe by a drabbanan we could be makel. But if we're saying that a Haggadah on less than the entire subject is not a Haggadah, so it makes no difference if it's the Rabbanan and the Raisa, we don't have a proper Haggadah. The Kli Chemda asks a very interesting shaila and uses this Gemara, again, not specifically related to this subject that we're discussing. Question comes up, and Lida does come up. Let's say somebody cannot, every mitzvah has a shear. Now let's say almost every mitzvah. Let's say somebody can't be mekayim the mitzvah with the shear. Should he do less than the shear? In other words, the question comes up, Pesach by night. You have to eat matzah, you have to eat maror. Nebuch, you have a sick person. He can't eat a kazayis matzah. He can't eat a kazayis maror. Is there a mitzvah to eat less than a kazayis? So he says, that Al Gemara says, dover v'loy chatzi dover. So maybe you should think that anything less than the shear is meaningless. So he says a very interesting psak la'alocha l'maisa. He says there are two places, sometimes the Torah gives the shear, and sometimes we only have the shear, which is most of the time, halocha l'maisha m'sinai. He says where the shear is only a halocha l'maisha m'sinai, matzah is a good example. So the halocha is, if you can't eat a kazayis, eat what you can. But he says where the shear is given midoraisa, the example he gives is as follows. We know that the shear for pidyon haben is chomesh shloim, 5 coins. Let's say you don't have 5 coins. You only have 3 coins. Should you do pidyon haben with 3 coins? It says no. Since the Torah specifies 5 coins, anything less is meaningless. I also saw a very nice fart. The Torah says, midvar sheker tirchak. So the mefarshim say, just like the Torah says dovi here, and we're learning dover v'loy chatzi dover, the same thing the Torah is teaching us, that a chatzi sheker, midva sheker tirchak, that even a chatzi dover is also sheker. They give a nice example. Let's say, I say that I saw you eat on Yom Kippur. I saw you eat on Tisha B'Av. Terrible. You know, technically I could be correct. Because let's say Tisha B'Av came out on Shabbos. If Tisha B'Av came out on Shabbos, you're allowed to eat. But I forgot, or maybe I didn't forget, to say the second half of the sentence. I said, I saw you eat in Tisha B'Av, but I didn't mention that Tisha B'Av was in Shabbos. Midvash sheker tirchak, even a chatzi sheker, chatzi dover, is also a sheker. Says the Gemara. Amar Yehuda, echer amar ochel chitim. If one witness, as we're talking about chazaka, one witness said that he saw that this person was eating wheat, echer amar, a different witness says that he saw him eating so'irim, Halacha is these two witnesses combine, and we have a chazaka. Haray is a chazaka. So the Gemara, this is the way the Rashbam learns the Gemara. The Gemara is assuming, if I saw you eating in this field wheat, and you saw somebody else eating, another witness says they saw him eating barley, how do these two testimonies coexist? The answer is, we spoke about this many times, they typically did not plant the same crop every year because it depletes the nutrients of the ground. So probably what happened here was that in year one he planted wheat, in year two they planted barley, and so on year three, four, five, six. But if that's the case, then there's no chazaka. Because as we've learned so many times, a chazaka is only achieved when it's ritzufim, when the 3 years were consistent. Here there's no three consecutive years that anybody's saying testimony to. If we're saying that one eid saying chitim and one eid is saying sarim kabayim, that's inconsistent with what we've been learning, that you have to have consecutive years. Maskel of Rav Acha. Maskel of Rav Nachman, if what you're saying is correct, elamata. Echad ayma achol rishon shlishi v'chamishis. If somebody says it was 1 year, 1, 3, and 5. Of course it's not a chazaka, because neither is testifying to 3 consecutive years. Hasam, says the Gemara of Yehuda, you misunderstand what I said. Hasam, indeed. If I'm saying that I saw you on year 1, 3, and 5, and somebody else says he saw you on year 2, 4, and 6, these two testimonies cannot combine, because they're talking about apples and oranges. They're talking about different years. Hacha, the way to understand my testimony, my din, says Rabbi Yehuda, tavai b'chadushat kamasadi. It's not that you're talking about year 1, 3, and 5, and I'm talking about year 2, 4, and 6. We're both talking about the exact same years. Just what? Ma'ik l'meima. People aren't that, don't pay that strong attention. So you are testifying about year 1, 2, and 3. And I'm testifying about year 1, 2, and 3. You said barley, and I said wheat. When we watch somebody eating from a property, we're not that particular to make sure that it's different. People get confused. And therefore, even though we're not saying the exact same thing, it's considered a valid testimony that could be combined. We had the same concept elsewhere, that if I say that I saw somebody borrow $100 on Sunday, and somebody else says that he saw him borrow $100 on Monday, so it's not the same day, we still can combine, because we're both saying the same thing, that he borrowed $100. Here too, we're both saying that this person was on the property for 3 years. Although, the Mefarshim say that even though our Gemara says that if one person says I saw barley, another person says I saw wheat, these two Edom can combine, because barley and wheat are easily confused. But let's say the Rishonim, one says I saw beans, and one says I saw wheat. Wheat and beans are distinctly different, and people don't get confused, and those two Edom cannot combine. One more din, just as for review purposes, for chazar purposes, even though we're saying now that a chazaka could only be achieved with 3 consecutive years, that's only where not everybody skips a year. But let's say the minig hamakom is that people, the way they plant their fields in that location is they plant a year and then leave a year empty and then again plant. So you can never have 3 consecutive years. There a chazaka could be achieved with 1 year, with year 1, 3, and 5, or 2, 4, 6.